I think what's true for all of us is that December and the Christmas season, whether it started for you right after Thanksgiving or maybe it's just been here this week, whatever that looks like for you, Christmas and December amplifies an already busy schedule. It's not that you didn't just have all this extra time on your hands, right? Like you weren't just looking for things to add to your schedule, and then December comes along and you have to do all of your regular things and you've got presents to buy, you've got parties to attend, you've got parties to plan, you've got kids all of a sudden that are home, and so you've got to keep them entertained. And is it okay if they have 16 hours of screen time in one day? Nobody knows, but we're just trying our best to survive. And it's just busy, and they're good things, right? I mean, it's good. How wonderful it is to celebrate Christmas and to go see family. And now some of you, it's not as good to see family because you know that person's going to be there, and there's that tension, and there's just that cultural pressure. I think social media does it to us, and just kind of the world that we live in, it adds more and more, and you need to do better, and you need to have the better decorations, and make sure your kids have this, and all of the things. And I think that we can get to the end of this Christmas season, and on Wednesday, or I guess it'd be Thursday, you take a deep breath, and you realize you got through it, and we realize, wait a minute, I was so busy celebrating Jesus that I forgot I didn't make room for Jesus. I was so busy doing all the things for Jesus and his birth and to celebrate that. And I'm so pleased about it. But I was so busy doing all the things, I'm not sure did I ever make room in my life for Jesus, because I had parties to attend and there was nativities and I had presents to buy and maybe I even bought somebody a new Bible. We had the houses to decorate and we had the nativity out. And in all the celebrating Jesus in my own life, did I make room for Jesus, or did I just get through that holiday season and all of a sudden I'm making my New Year's resolutions, all of a sudden it's January and I'm just back to the races, and did I ever have room for Jesus? And again, I think cultural kind of does this to us because we feel like we have to compare, like, are my kids as happy as their kids, and is my house as nice as their house, and they look like they just walked out of a magazine or just looked out of Pinterest, and I don't feel like I have that, and so I had to try hard and do more. And the Christmas story kind of has this part to it that you already know. This is a part of the story that is kind of the crux of part of the story. And I think I wonder sometimes if we don't have something in common. At the end of Luke's kind of telling the story, you know, she gave birth to her firstborn son, Jesus, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him into mangers, and isn't it beautiful? It's just right here. We've got the nativity. You've got a nativity. Why did it? Well, there was no guest room available. And we read that story removed, and in our culture, we think, I wouldn't be like that. And if Jesus needed a place to be, and if a pregnant mother that was carrying Jesus, and I would kick somebody else out. I'd give them my room. I would do whatever it takes to make sure that Jesus, because I love Jesus and I honor Jesus and I want to follow Jesus, I would do everything that I had the power to do to make sure that Jesus had a comfortable place to be. And then we look at our lives and think, I have some things in common with that innkeeper. It's not that I'm anti-Jesus. I'm not hostile to Jesus. I'm just full. I love Jesus. I love the Christmas story. I love all the things that are about. I'm so grateful. I believe the story of Jesus. There's no opposition to it. I'm just too full. I just don't know if I have room for Jesus. And some of you in this year, maybe as you're looking into 2025, maybe there's something inside of you that says, you know, I want to get closer to God. Or maybe some of you are on the other side, and you're frustrated that I don't feel like I'm as close to God as I used to. I don't feel like my relationship with God is as connected as it once was. And so we look at why is that? And why do I keep circling the same problems? Why do I keep falling back into the same habits? Why does it seem like all the time when I pray, it's just this brick wall that my prayers are hitting? Why don't I feel that connection? I love Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want Jesus to be part of my life. And so what if, this is what we're going to talk about today, what if the greatest barrier to experiencing God isn't opposition, it's overcrowding? What if the greatest opposition in my life and in your life to experiencing the life that Jesus wants for you is not that you're opposed to him, it's not that you don't believe it, it's just I don't have enough room. I just, amongst all the things that I'm doing, Jesus gets crowded out. And when Jesus comes by my life, sometimes by my actions and by my schedule and with my calendar, I say like the innkeeper, there's no room for you here. There's no room. I've got to get to the game. I've got to buy the present. I've got to whatever it is in your schedule. And good things, important things, valuable things, but just things that crowd Jesus out. And it's not a new story. It's a story that is old as the story of Jesus. And in fact, what we're going to see today in John chapter 1 is that Jesus experienced this exact same overcrowding problem and in his adult life. John starts his gospel really interestingly. If you don't know who John is, John was one of three of Jesus had his 12 disciples, and within that group of 12, Jesus had three guys that he really kind of leaned into and poured his life into, and John was one of those. John was the guy that when Jesus was moments away from his death, he looked at John and he said, John, I want you to take care of my mom. And mom, I want you to take care of John as if he is your son. They had this extraordinary, extraordinary relationship. And so John, when he's writing his gospel, he starts it not with the story of Jesus' birth, but he wants to try to get people to recognize that who Jesus is God, that he always has been God, that he always will be God. And so he's trying to get his readers to recognize this. And in verse number 9 through 14, John shows us this beautiful, what we call the incarnation, and what we are invited to respond to that incarnation. And so verse number 9, if you follow along this morning, again, it's going to be up here on the screen. It says this. This is John writing. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And so what John is saying is all these things that we've been chasing, all of the peace that you've been trying to get, all of the thing that you've been trying to chase in your life that is light for a moment, Jesus is that true light. And I think that for many of us, the reason our schedules are so packed full is because we're chasing something. We recognize there's a gap in me. I feel insecure. I don't feel like I measure up. I feel like I should be doing more. I feel like I should be getting ahead. I feel like all of these things. And so we chase for that light. And every now and again, we feel that spark. I go on the vacation. I feel the spark. I get into the new relationship. I feel the spark. I get that new job. I feel the spark. And then it dies down and I have to keep chasing. And so John is saying, hey, that light that you've been searching for, it's come into the world. And it is the true light. There are false lights. There are lights that we can spend our life chasing that will not illuminate your life. Yeah, they'll give you a spark for a moment, but they can't last. And so John is saying, Jesus came into the world to be light, and he is light enough for everyone. Just like if I was to go into a dark room and we were all to get in there, when I flip on the lights, everybody is impacted by the light. That there's nobody that's going to be in that room in a sphere of darkness. That light that comes into the world is enough light for everybody. You are invited to participate in the light, John is saying. He's, well, what about this? And I grew up like this, and I did this, and what about this history, and I've got this problem. You're invited to participate in the light. That the light has come, and it gives light to everyone. And so John is going to show us three things, three responses to that light. And you're going to find yourself in one of these. You will be, just like I will be, one of these responses. The first response came in verse number 10. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. That's that first response to that light, is that the one who created time couldn't get people's time. The one who created space, he couldn't find space in people's life. I just didn't recognize him. I was going so fast through my life, I didn't recognize what was happening. The problem was not God's absence. The problem was humanity's blindness. The problem in my life, oftentimes, is not God's absence in my life. It's my blindness. It's me racing to the next thing. And it's not sinful. It's not bad. It might even be good. But as I race towards that, I race past Jesus, and I don't recognize what he's saying into my life. I don't recognize what he's doing. I don't recognize what he wants to do in me and through me and what works that he wants me to be focused on in this time. That he is here in my world, in your world, when you go to work and when you're in your family and all the different things that you do in your life. He is there. The question is, have I stopped and have I made space to recognize, oh, Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus has some things that he wants to say about my life. Jesus has some things to say about this decision, about this new career that I'm thinking about, this new opportunity that I'm trying to pursue. That Jesus had something to say, but if I'm not careful, I'll rush right by him and I won't recognize his voice. And so the question to wrestle with, if it's true that the light came into the world and the light is available for everyone, the question that you have to wrestle with is, are you so focused on your plans that you're missing God's presence? Are you so focused on the things that you have to do that you forget Jesus wants to be involved in my life? Have I been so focused in celebrating Christmas that I forget what is the reason behind Christmas? Because for all of us, there is something way better than the things that you've been chasing. There's something better than that, I've got to get to the next, I've got to do more, I've got to achieve something else. It's better. It's a light that is sustained. It's a light that gives me peace. It's a light that gives me hope. It's a light that gives me wisdom. It's a light that gives me grace when I mess it up. It's a light that helps me when I stumble. That is what Jesus has come, and he is there. I've just got to recognize him. I've got to be willing to slow down enough to say, God, what are you wanting to do in my life and in the culture that we live in? And I'm not sure it's anybody's fault. It just is what it is, that we can get so focused on the fake light. We can get so focused on the light that shines for just a moment that we think that's the thing that's going to finally fix it. That's the thing that's finally going to illuminate those dark areas of my life. It's like scrolling through pictures of sunsets when if you would just look up, there's a beautiful sunset right in front of you. And so Jesus comes into the world. The challenge is, have we recognized him? That's the first challenge. Then he goes on in verse number 11, not only did people not recognize him, but to all, verse number 11, he came to his own people. John is talking specifically about the Israelites, but we can find ourselves in it too. He came to his own people, and it's not that they didn't recognize him. They recognized him and said no. They recognized him, that's Jesus, and yet I am going to reject him. These are, again, John is talking about the Israelites. These are the people that had all the prophecies. These are the people that from the very beginning of their life, they memorized the first five books of our Old Testament. They knew all the things that there were to know. They saw the signs, they heard the prophecies, and then when they see Jesus come in, they said, that can't be him, because he's not coming the way that we thought that he would come. I mean, I expected he was going to be this political revolutionary. I expected he was going to be this military leader. I expected he was going to come on a white horse as this kingly figure. Instead, he was born in a manger, raised by a carpenter. That cannot possibly be him. And so I recognize him, and I just say no. I can be in that where I can have that in my life. You can have that in your life. That God oftentimes comes in ways that I don't really want, God, I don't want you to come that way. I don't want you to point out that part of my life. I want the blessings. I want you to answer prayers. I want you to do the things that I need you to do. But if you come in and point out something in me that I can just reject that. I recognize that you're calling me to do something. I just don't want to. And so, no. The Israelites, they wanted a Messiah, they wanted a Savior, but they wanted him on their terms. I want the Messiah to look like this, and I want the Messiah to do this, and we, if we're not careful, can find ourselves there. Yes, I want a God, and I believe in God, but I want him to look like this, and I want to box him in, and he's only allowed to this part of my life, and I'm not going to let him touch my money, and I'm not going to let him touch my time, and all these other areas that he points out. I say, no, I don't think that I want you to do that, but if you could answer my prayer, that would be great. That we recognize, but we reject, and sometimes we reject what we need the most because it doesn't come the way that we wanted. The Israelites, what did they want? They wanted a solution to their immediate problem, which was Rome. They wanted a Messiah figure, a kingly figure, a military leader who would finally throw off Rome and they would be free. That's what they wanted immediately. And when Jesus came and didn't do that, they rejected him. But Jesus came to solve a bigger problem. His problem was not Rome to solve, it was the problem of sin. That's the Jesus came to solve the bigger problem. And sometimes my life, and when I focus on God, I want God to focus, do this and fix this, and I want you to do this. But then when he says, well, what about What about this thing over here? No, I don't want that. I want you just to do this. Yeah, but what about, no, I don't. And we want that quick fix. And God can so often lead us through the process that we want success. Of course we want success. And yet God oftentimes teaches us through struggle that we want comfort. And so oftentimes God teaches us through challenges and difficulty and invites us to surrender. And so there were some people that just didn't recognize him. I just didn't know that was him. And then some people, and we have to ask ourselves, is that me? Have I recognized him, but I've rejected him? I said, no, you can't have this part of my life. You can't have this. I want the salvation. I want the good things. I want the things that I want. But if you get too close or if you start to point out things, I just reject. But then there's that third option, verse number 12. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. That word accepted is to welcome, to take hold of. It's more than just this passive acknowledgement. Yes, I believe in Jesus. That's that passive acknowledgement. But to believe in and to accept, it's an active choice. I'm going to embrace Jesus. I'm going to embrace every part of Jesus. I'm going to welcome Jesus into every part of my life. And so for many of us, what we have to change our mindset is that receiving Jesus isn't just believing he exists. It's welcoming him into every single part of my life. That most people, especially in the world that we live in Western Kansas and kind of the rural communities, most people believe in Jesus. A lot of people haven't taken that next step, that's the more important step, and say, now because of my belief, I want to welcome you into every part of my life. It would be as if you were at home later today and you hear a knock on your door and you see who it is. Yeah, okay. You recognize who it is. Gotcha, I know who you are. And then you just turned around and carried on with your life. They're just kind of standing outside. That's what the same John who's writing this, that's what John said when he wrote Revelation. He says about Jesus, or quoting Jesus, he says, look, I stand at the door of your life, of my life, and I knock. If you hear my voice, recognize, open the door, I don't reject, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. That's what Jesus invites us to, not just believe that he exists, but to, here's my life. Here's every part of my life. Here's the part of my life that I'm ashamed of. Here's the part of my life that I think kind of I wish would be hidden in the shadows. Here's the part of my life that's going well that I would prefer you actually not to mess with. Here is every part of my life. Let me read your verse again, verse number 12. But to all who believed him and accepted, what did he do? I love this word. I wish I would have underlined it. He gave the right to become children of God, that it's authority, it's privilege, it's legal standing. Imagine it this way, that if you went through an international adoption process, that if you had a child that you had picked out from an adoption agency and met all the things, you go over to that country and you go through all the paperwork, and suddenly what happens? With a stroke of a pen, when you sign that final piece of paper, everything about that child is instantly different. That he or she becomes totally yours, and that country that they were part of has no legal authority over them anymore. They went from, let's just call it a Chinese citizen, to an American citizen instantly. And because that happened, there were rights that were given to them, not because they earned it, but because of whose family they came into. That's what John is talking about. That when I become part of the family of God by believing he exists and accepting him into every part of my life, I become part of the family of God and I have rights now as that. It's not because I earned it. It's not because I worked really hard to get it. I become part of God's family. I'm no longer on the outside looking in. I'm suddenly part of this brand new family because of something somebody else did on my behalf. What would I do? I just believe he exists. And I welcome him into every part of my life. Have you ever traveled to an Airbnb? Airbnbs are a wild, wild thing. Brandy and I, most of the time we travel, we used to do Airbnbs, but now I think to myself, I don't really want to start your dishwasher and do the laundry and do all things. So I'm kind of out on the Airbnb things. But Airbnbs are a fascinating thing because you're in somebody's home, but you're not really at home. Have you ever went to, because I'm just infinitely curious, I can't help myself but to try every door. Like, I'm just trying to see what's going on in this people's life and how what are things. And what do Airbnbs do? There's certain areas you can't go in. Certain areas that are locked off, they're not available. Well, I'm at the home, but I'm not home. That's what John is talking about. That we can so easily, in my life and in your life maybe, you have to check for yourself. But I can say, yeah, Jesus, you can be home, but you're not at home. There's parts of my life that are locked off. There's parts of my life that, I mean, be comfortable, but don't be too comfortable. You know, stay, but don't like be at home. Be apart, but not really connected. I've got to lock things off. And John says, no, it's not the gospel. The gospel is I believe and I accept. I open up every door. Yeah, but what about that part of my life that is kind of icky and kind of, yeah, open it up. Because he already knows, right? It's not a mystery to him. He's not surprised by it. Open it up. Well, what about that part of my life that's going really well and it seems like I haven't needed him up to this point? Why would I just open it up? And see what happens, we get worried about, well, what if he changes and what if he tells me? That's part of believing. It's part of accepting. Verse number 13, that we're reborn, not from a physical birth resulting in human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And then verse number 14, this is the incarnation. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. You know what that verse means? That God was so interested in a relationship with you that he was willing to do whatever it takes. That I'll put on flesh and bones because I don't want to just be known about, I want to be known. There's a big difference. There's a big difference in being known about and being known. Because if God's goal was to just people to know about him, well then just easy. I'll just give them all sorts of information about me from heaven and they can read about me. That wasn't God's primary purpose, but for some of us, we have kept God at a I know about him length. I don't really know him, I just know about him. I celebrate at Christmas, but I don't know if I really celebrate on Tuesday at work and on Friday when the family's having challenges and when I think about how I want to spend my money, all the different things of my life. And so the question to wrestle with is where do you find yourself? That if it's true what John says, that the light has come and the light is available for everyone, have you recognized him? Have we gotten so quick into the thing that I had to do next that I forget that Jesus might want to say something to me? Maybe for some of us, if we're just really honest, there's parts of my life that I've just flat out rejected him. That I've said, no, I'm not, you can't do that. I'm not interested. I know what you want, I just don't care. I know what you're calling me to, but just no. The invitation is to just receive. Believe that he exists and accept him into every part of your life. Sounds scary. That's because it is. Well, I don't know how it's all, yeah, we don't know how it's gonna work out. What if he makes me do this? Well, he's not gonna make you do anything, but he might invite you to. What if he calls me to something else? Well, that will be for your good. It'll be for your betterment. And so God calls. And so if for some of you, let me just really quickly, we're gonna finish up for the day. If you find yourself in a place where you are like many of us, so, so quick in life, just going, 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 going. Just three things really, really briefly that I would invite you to do as you think about 2025. As you think about, if you're in that, I talk to people all the time that they say, I just feel like my spiritual life is just, I just feel like it's going through quicksand. I just feel, I cannot get any momentum. I just don't feel like that passion I had that I once had, I just don't feel like it's there anymore. Just three things that here's what that is. That's just not recognizing. So three things really quickly, gonna take 3 minutes, probably longer than that, but briefly, that you can do. Here's the first one. As you think about 2025, would you evaluate? Would you just take an honest inventory of what are the things in your life that's crowding Jesus out? What, I'm not talking about sinful things, although some of them might be sinful. I'm talking about good, positive, healthy things that just don't leave any room for Jesus. It might be your calendar, might be your time. You might have to say, I can't do everything that I want to do. Not because they're bad, they're just crowding Jesus out. And no for now doesn't mean no forever. Some of us, you know, Brandon and I have got three young kids, and so what does that mean in our life? It means that we say things, we say no for now that don't have to be no forever. There's things that we don't do now that sometimes we will do once our kids are kind of aged out of this current season of life. No for now, not no forever. I just evaluate, what about my money? The money that I have that used to be more than it is now, or the money that is more now than it used to be, have I let God into that thing, my control? We want to have control of our life. Just evaluate, am I crowding Jesus out? One way to ask it is this, where have I been too full to recognize God at work? If again, don't tell me, you just got to look at yourself in the mirror. You've got to be honest enough to say, if I want God to be at work in my life, if I want to have a stronger, more fulfilling relationship with God in this next year, well, I can't keep doing what I have been doing and have a better relationship with Him. I can't have both. Can't have both. And so I just ask myself, where have I been too full? And then when you determine that, pretty easy, not very theologically deep, just eliminate. Eliminate, evaluate, eliminate. There are some things that you can't receive with full hands. You remember, you know, some of you, I'm the same way, that you can't, the idea of taking more than one trip from the car with the groceries into the house, you can't take more than one trip. And so you just got all of the bags loaded on your arms. Anybody like me, you just totally loaded up and you've got like a bag in your mouth and you're just like holding all this stuff. Some of you are going through life like that. And you're just holding all of this stuff, and then God wants to put some things in your life and you're like, I can't receive that. I'm just too full. Good things, I'm just too full. So listen, hey, you got to drop some bags. You got to put some things down because God's got some things He wants to give you. God got some things that He wants to do in your life. You can't receive it though with full hands. Every time, we've talked about this before, every time you say yes to something, you say no to something else. Every time. And that's not a Christian thing. That's just a thing. That when you say yes to something, you say no automatically to something else. And so here's what that means. That when you say yes to Jesus, that means that you just have to say no to some other things. So you this morning said yes to coming to church. Thank you. You know what that meant? You said no to something else. You said no to sleeping in. You said no to watching the shows. You said yes. And so that automatically meant you said no to something else. In 2025, some of you will say yes to too many things. And as a result of that, you will say no to your Heavenly Father. You just will. You just will. And you won't do it on purpose. You won't do it because you don't believe. You won't do it because you reject. You'll just do it because you've got two full of hands. And you'll say yes to the event, and you'll say yes to the invitation, and you'll say yes to the opportunity, and it'll be yes, and it'll be yes, and it'll be yes, and you'll look back and say, I don't think God is in my life anymore. I don't feel as connected to God as I used to. And there was never a moment that you decided. It's just a little decision. And so my invitation to you as you go into 2025 is, why don't you start first with, I'm saying yes to my Heavenly Father, yes. And so when I say yes to that, that's seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. But when I start with yes, I'm gonna have to say no, I can't do that. Nope, can't do the things. I can't always come over because I've said yes to Jesus back here. So we evaluate, we eliminate, and then just in that, I couldn't help myself, they all had to start with E. It's just a problem that I have. We elevate. So what do I do with that empty time now that I have? Now that I'm not scheduled 24 hours a day, what do I, well, I just elevate that time. I fill that new space intentionally. I've said no to, you know what, in 2025, I'm saying no to having Instagram and TikTok on my phone. Because when I say yes to that, I find myself swiping, 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 and I just can't do it. And so I say no to that. I'm just using that as an example. That might be for some of you. No, I'm not gonna do that. And so then what do you do with all of a sudden I've got 16 hours of time left that I didn't, well, you fill it intentionally. Fill it with, well, maybe I should get a daily devotional. Maybe I should subscribe to the daily devotional that we send out at 6 a.m. every Monday. Maybe I order one off of them. Here's what you do. You unlock some doors that you've kept locked. That you say, I'm not gonna Airbnb Jesus. I'm not gonna keep him away. Every part of my life, it's open. Don't be content in 2025. Don't be content with just believing in Jesus. Don't be content in just believing the stories. It's not the right way. I believe and I accept. In every nativity, let me finish with this. In every nativity, the ones at your house and the ones that we have here and all the ones, guess what everybody's centered on? Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus is at the center. Every other part of life, if we would just center it around Jesus. We believe it at Christmas that everything should have Jesus at the center. We point everything, every other part of the nativity and the story towards Jesus. What would it look like? What would it look like if you centered your life around it? What if you took the thing that you already know about the nativity, Jesus should be at the center, everything else pointed to him. What would that look like if you decided, I think my life ought to be that way? Well, can you imagine what your life could look like at the end, at this time in 2025, if you just made the conscious choice, Jesus at the center, everything else around it? And if that means I have to say no, then I'll say no. If that means I have to say no for now, then I'll just say no for now. I'm just telling you, you wouldn't recognize you. You wouldn't recognize your marriage. You wouldn't recognize the decisions that you make because you just made the choice. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Don't you think you'd have some more peace? Don't you think that if you made the choice to center your life around Jesus in 2025, that peace would just be overflowing? Not because everything is great, not because everything is working. Jesus is at the center. You'd have more clarity. The thing that you've been chasing, you would get because of Jesus. And so, at the end, here's what we want to ask you the question. How can you make room for the one who came to dwell among you? Don't just let this message be inspiring. Don't let it just be encouraging. Don't even just believe that that's probably a good idea. Do something with it. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you came to give light to all of us. You came to give light to me. There's nobody that is out of the reach of your light. And Lord, for so many of us, myself included, we are guilty of not recognizing you. Some of us, if we're honest, we're guilty of rejecting you. So Lord, we want to take that third option. We want to believe and accept. Or would you help us this week as we go into this new year to put you at the center, to put you at the center of our lives, and let that be the thing that no matter what else comes, Jesus is at the center. And we know that we're gonna have to say no to some things. Would you give us the courage to do it? Would you give us the faith to know exactly what to do? Lord, for some of us, we know exactly what we need to do with this message. We know that we've kept you locked out of some rooms of our life. We've made our relationship with you into an Airbnb. Lord, we don't want to do that anymore. Would you help us to welcome you into the home of our life, every part of it? Give us the courage to know what to do and the ability, because of you, your grace, to do it. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.